try not to take up too much time. I'm very appreciative to be here today. Glad that we were able to come and visit. The song that we just sang, you know, I Need the Prayers, is something that's it's almost become one of these little abbreviations that we use. It's we often hear people, you know, say, well, you know, pray for me. Or somebody say, you know, or we'll be asked, you know, what can I do for you? And we'll say in response, well, pray for me. And both the sayer of that and the receiver of that probably are not taking that in the manner in which it's being asked or needed to be asked or received and then acted upon. I've said this for a long time in sermons. If somebody asks you to pray for them and you say that you will, find some place where you can have some quiet and away from things and actually do what you've agreed to do, which is to pray to the Creator of all things that God would see fit to be with the person that's asking for those prayers. Oftentimes we'll hear when somebody says, you know, well, you know, we'll say, pray for me, and say, well, you know, now I'm doing that. But what else is there? There's nothing greater that you could do than that. And the reason I say this is that the Bible tells us that in numerous places what prayer has accomplished. And we have one instance of where a king was told that his days was over, and he prayed to God and was granted, I think it was 15 more years. That's the power of prayer. Jesus Christ went to the garden and he prayed. You know, we often refer to the Lord's Prayer, and it's not the Lord's Prayer. It was his disciples asked him how to pray. He specifically told them that when you pray, you know, pray thusly, and he gives the outline of how to pray for us. Now, if you want to see a really good example of the Lord's Prayer, I believe it's the 17th chapter of John. The entire chapter is the Lord praying, and in that one prayer right there is peace, comfort, and joy for every person that's sitting here today that believes upon the name of the Lord. And the reason is that if Satan has ever attacked you and caused doubt, about halfway through, and I can't get the verse this morning, but about halfway through, he's been talking about asking the Lord to watch over his disciples, and he's not asking the Lord to take them out of the trouble that they're going to face, because they're going to face trouble. Right. He'd already told them they were. But he said, you know, to protect them and to guide them and strengthen them and comfort them. But then he says, I pray not for them, but also those that believe upon me through their word. Now, brothers and sisters, what that tells you in a very short sentence is that if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, based on what this Bible says this morning, I can prove to you that in John 17, Christ prayed for you. I can also prove in the Scripture that Christ never prayed for a single child of the devil. So if you have that, and me and Brother Marty was talking during the reception at Jackson's wedding, you know, one of the greatest things that we were ever given was when Paul exposed himself to having these two natures and showed us that he was not perfect and that he would fail, and then told us what failure looked like and showed us what success looked like, and then taught us how to pick ourselves up and go on the very next day or in the same day. So when it says that I need the prayers of those I love, it's we need these. This is an important part of our daily life. We've relegated. You know, we'll teach people to say, as I said, what we'd say the Lord's Prayer, and you know, we'll just rattle it off real quick. We'll sit down to eat a meal, and we'll just say, I better pray, and let me just do this. Brothers and sisters, understand that when you're stopping that length of time and you're fixing to speak, remember who you're speaking to. They often tell ministers and other public speakers, you know your audience. You need to understand who you're speaking to. I've heard some people, say that, well, you know, I don't like it when people refer to God like as a friend and a buddy and stuff like that. Christ spoke of Judas in prophecy as saying, my own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. He referred to disciples as those that he loved, his friends, and we sing a song. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, if you look and you study what the term Abba, Father, means, that's as close to daddy as you will ever get. And there are days when we need to go in prayer to our day. I miss my earthly father. I've missed him a great deal in the last few months. I knew from a young age that he was not perfect. But I felt his love in my life every moment, and I feel it even to this day still. And there were days when I was very low that I could go to him and I could talk to him. There were days when I needed my earthly father, and there were days when I needed what he was bringing and I didn't want it when it got there. There were days when he brought correction and punishment and I didn't want anything to do with that. But the same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. I've used an analogy. There's days when on the plains of Jericho we have a person who appeared there in full armor and with a sword drawn, and when Joshua went out to ask him a question, it's one of my favorite answers that's ever given. He said, "Are you for us or against us?" And the person said, "Nay." Well, that's not an answer. It is when you're God.
Yep.
It is when you're God. And he said, "For I am now come." So in this appearance, I am now come as the captain of the host. Well, whose host? All of the host. Everybody involved in this battlefield, I'm the captain of. When that statement was made, Joshua assumed the correct position. There's days when I need Christ to show up in my life like that. I need protection, and I need Satan driven back out of my day. But there's also days when I need that meek lamb to come and comfort me and to put his arms around me. So when you ask for prayer, understand that when God said that he was our all in all and everything, he clearly, we should understand by now that God is incapable of lying. Something that I thought about just a few minutes, and we were talking about that, Brother Marty mentioning the wedding. You know, at the wedding that Christ attended in Cana, his mother came to him and said, "They don't have any wine." Now, that's, you know, having been to enough weddings, especially here in the South, if you run out of drinks of any kind, I don't care if all they're having is soda, if you run out, it's a bad day. If all you've got is city water to drink, it is not a good day for any, the party has pretty much ended. Do you ever thought about why that water became wine? You ever thought why that happened? Christ told them to do two things. Fill the pot with water and then serve it. The results were based upon two things. They obeyed the word of the Lord. If they hadn't filled the pots, or if they'd said, "Well, this is just going to be water and not served out." You look back at the same history when Naaman was told to go and see the old prophet over there, and he was told to go and dip yourself seven times in the River Jordan. He got all mad because, you know, Jordan was just this little bitty, you know, body of water compared to, as he was referring it to back, I'm guessing, to the Tigris or the Euphrates back home. And the response to him was, if they told you to do something really great, you would have done it. He told you something real simple to do. You know, he obeyed in the fact that he dipped himself all seven times. You don't see where he was like getting a little better and a little better. On that seventh time, when he came out of the water, he was clean. Our problem, all, you know, we try to sometimes oversimplify things, but realistically, the problems that we have as Christians with our Heavenly Father is disobedience. That's, by the way, that's disobedience. It's what caused the fall of man. Disobedience is what brought about the flood. Disobedience is what brought about Moses' punishment in the wilderness. Disobedience is what brought about the elimination of all of that generation in the wilderness while they were walking around out there. Disobedience to God today. God has made it very simple and plain what we should do. And we have to understand that we worship and we pray to a just God. We also worship a very merciful God, because I heard Sister Gail ask Brother Marty this morning how he was doing, and he said, "Better than I deserve." the Lord has been merciful to us this morning, that we've been given another day, and that we've been given another hour, and that we've been allowed to come out and worship His name and to pray to the Creator of all. So this morning, please pray for Brother Marty. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your church. Pray for our nation. And remember, in the world that we live in today, you'll often hear, well, you know, it's not my political whatever. It's not my president, not my governor, not my whatever. You know, when God tells us to pray for those in authority, He really didn't leave us a whole lot of loopholes in that. He told us what we should be doing. I'm wondering this morning if maybe we should obey that, if you'll bow with us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we beg You to send Your Spirit among us, Lord, and to fill Brother Marty with a message for us this morning that would be edifying and glorifying to You, and to lift us up, Lord, that we might see Jesus. Lord, we ask You to be with all of those that have been asked for prayers this morning, and we ask You to watch over and continue to bless and keep them and to spare them, Lord. Lord, we thank You this morning for the health that we enjoy. We thank You for the many blessings that You personally poured out upon us in recent times. Lord, we ask You to watch over our nation and our community and our churches, Lord, and to give us strength and give us the wisdom, Lord, to take Your name in our mouths to all that we meet in this world and to proclaim the sweet name of Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.